Somebody better preach. All right. Bibles, I hear pages flipping. It's a beautiful sound. John chapter 6 and verse 66 reads, oh my goodness, I should probably get there. As such, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Let's pray. Why don't you pray for your own heart? I'll pray for my own heart tonight that I would receive the word of God. Jesus, I love you, Lord God, and I thank you that you've chosen tonight, Lord God. You've chosen this Friday, Lord God, to preach your word to me. I receive it, Lord God. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what you're going to do. But Jesus, I believe with all of my heart that you have my very best in mind for me. I believe you want to help me and not hurt me, Lord. I believe you want to save me, Lord God, and not condemn me. So Jesus, I receive your word. Whatever it is, Lord God, I love you, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus, for changing my life tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. My goodness, I'm excited. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask a question, everybody. Does anybody here have, I'm going to go down here so I don't have to make eye contact with anybody, commitment issues? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at that dude across the way. You got someone coming in mind. Does anybody in here, do you know anybody who has commitment issues? I'm not just talking about, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend. I'm talking about, I mean, even going out to eat. Right? I mean, you're on the way there. Why is my wife looking at me right now? But it's like, you're on the way there. It's like, we said this restaurant. We said Taco Bell. But what about this? Commitment issues. Amen. Human thing. When we get our mind on one thing, but then we start to think about the goodness of the other. You start to think about the goodness of KFC when you're on the way to Taco Bell. Or, you know, when you're on the way to McDonald's, you start to think about, what about Popeyes? What do you think about Chick-fil-A? Amen? We don't have either in Medina. That's upsetting. I believe it wholeheartedly that there are three types of people in any group. There are three types of people for sure in every church. There's three types of people in every team. There's three types of people in any group of people. There are those that are committed. There are those that are definitely not committed. And there are those that are still trying to figure it out. Yeah. And so tonight, I want to preach a word to those that are still trying to figure it out. Because those that are not committed will not receive any word. Yeah. Those that have no heart for this, those that... it doesn't really matter. Amen. Hot dogs are all that matters. But I believe that God is bringing some people here today that are still trying to figure it out. Amen. And I'm thankful for those that are already committed. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, I know it wasn't an easy road to get there. Being committed doesn't mean you're perfect. Hear me readily. Anyone in a marriage will tell you that right now. Being committed doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. Being committed means I'm not quitting no matter what. Yeah. Amen? I don't care what you do. I don't care what I do. I don't care what life throws at me. I am not giving up because I made a choice on that day. I'm not giving up. Amen? Amen. And so we read in this super encouraging passage that from this time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, something that we've tried to go over time and time again within our own youth classes is that one of the most important things to understand any scripture is context. Amen? Yeah. Huge, huge. I pray, I begged them. I don't know if I got on my hands and knees, but I said, when you leave, if you ever choose to leave, if I don't kick you out first, when you leave, please remember context matters, because people will try to come at you with the word, but they are so out of context, they will not understand. Amen. Yeah. But I love being apostolic because we get the context. It's about him. Yeah. Amen. And so the context of this story, this verse, is all this crowd, all this group of people that got blessed with some food. Amen. Anybody ever been there? Goodness, I bless the Lord when I eat good food, especially at a potluck. Lord, I'm all over it. Jesus, my God. Thank you, Lord God, that Sister Terry made this. Thank you, God. Jesus, Lord. Dessert is beautiful. And they were blessed in the multitude. There was a multitude and they were hungry. And Jesus took this food and he multiplied it and he multiplied it and he multiplied it. And this crowd fell in love with Jesus because of food. Yeah. Because their hunger on the inside was met. They found that their need was met. Their immediate need was met. Amen. And we can find sometimes that we can get so caught up in our immediate need and our physical need that when that's met, the spiritual need doesn't quite matter anymore. And so they followed Jesus because they fell in love with his miracles. They fell in love because there's a truth is that, you know, Pentecost works and the Holy Ghost works. And I'm so glad that each one of you have found yourself in a Pentecostal church today. Amen. Because the miracle signs and wonders still work. And that's not just something you find in every church building on the street. Amen. The Holy Ghost healings. We've seen cancer rebuked. Amen. We've seen healing. We've seen addiction broken in a moment. Amen. You don't get that in some sort of advice group. You don't get that in a prescription, amen, when God immediately takes away a disease. You just don't find that. And so when the crowd saw a miracle, they followed Jesus, and you know what? They wanted to make him king. Yeah. Because of food. Amen. Would you want to make him king because he could make unlimited food too? Amen. Don't lie. All you can eat all day or day buffets? That never run out, and it's always warm and not cold and stanky like Golden Corral. Amen. Just constantly fresh, 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 fresh. They wanted to make him king, and so he had to disappear for a ways. And here's the thing is that Jesus, when your motive isn't right, he knows how to slip away. Yeah. Amen. He knows how to just kind of withdraw himself because you know what? It's really self-detrimental for you to chase after him for carnal reasons. And so they pulled away. He pulled away. And this is what the crowd did. I find this to be so amazing. They hunted Jesus down. Jesus walked on the sea and he scared the goodness out of the disciples. And that was in the nighttime. And then the daytime, the crowd was like, where's Jesus at? No boats have come or gone. Where's Jesus? He must be on the other coast. And so they go and they get in their boats, I'm guessing. They row, row, row the boat all the way over there, hunting after Jesus. And we see the end of the story now. And so I want to tell you from the beginning that being committed is a whole lot different than just seeking after Jesus. Amen. We got a whole lot of people, and I thank God for looking for Jesus. I thank God for hungering after him. But there's a whole big difference between just wanting Jesus and being committed. Yeah. Amen. Because sometimes that want will die away, and that want is tied to a certain time period in our schedule. But when you're committed, it doesn't matter if it's Monday morning or Thursday night or Wednesday night. I'm committed. Amen. And the word says this. The word says worship. So I'll worship if nobody's worshiping. I'll give if nobody's giving. Because it's not tied to a desire. It's tied to a commitment to his word. Amen. And so this crowd, they found what they were looking for because the Bible says if you will seek after him with all of your heart, what's going to happen? You're going to find him. Yeah. The truth, though, is that sometimes when you find him, you might not find what you thought you were looking for. We read of a rich young ruler that found Jesus. And when he found Jesus, he found a cry. He found a question, sell all and follow me. And the truth is that there's often a big time difference between what we hear from Jesus and what we think he means and in reality what his motivation is, what his desire is. Because when the rich young ruler heard, sell everything you have, in his heart, all he could think about was everything he was losing. But in Jesus' mind, when he told the rich young ruler, sell everything that you have and follow me. That was an invitation to the eternal, the invitation to discipleship, and an invitation to the supernatural. Amen. Had he followed him, we might have read about his name being written on a foundation of heaven, but we don't because he walked no more with him. And so this crowd sat at the feet of Jesus and they heard his word. Could you imagine, you know, hearing directly from Jesus himself? They heard his word and they sat in his presence, like those that we read about in the word. They sat in his word. They sat in his word and they heard. They heard it all for themselves. And Jesus started to speak some hard stuff in John 6. He talks about the bread of life. He says, I am that bread of life. Yeah. And the Bible records this, that the people looked at themselves and they said, oh my, this is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. And sometimes we can look at that and think, it's a hard saying. Does that mean it's hard to understand? But when you look up what that meaning, the meaning is of hard saying, it wasn't hard to understand. What that means is that it was hard to grasp a hold of. It was hard to accept. Not hard to understand, but hard to accept. And that's the truth about so much apostolic teaching and preaching I hear today, and so much preaching and teaching we get to hear every Sunday and every Thursday, is not that it's hard to understand, but that it's hard to accept. Jesus speaks things that are not hard to understand, but hard to accept. When he says, I want you to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. We understand he means let go of me and follow him. It's not that I don't get it. It's that I don't want it. Amen. And that's the truth, because we preach it day in and day out and day in and day out, almost like somebody's life is on the line, that ye must be born again to go into the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. You must repent and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sin. You can't do it any other way. You must receive the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues. There's no other way. And it's not that we don't get it with our understanding. It's that our flesh says, I don't want that kind of life. I've seen what it takes away, but you haven't seen what it's given me. Amen. My God, my God. And so the crowd started to get into their minds and say, oh, that is so hard to accept. That's hard to accept that God alone is my bread of life, because we want to rely on so much other things. Amen. It's crazy. The amount of people who call themselves, you know, that we are the church. But we rely, not just want, not just kind of lean on, but we rely on the world. We rely on the flesh. Amen? My goodness, what would happen if each one of us looked in the mirror and said, am I walking by faith today? Or could I do today without Jesus? What I'm getting into today, am I getting into anything today that is beyond me? Am I getting into anything today that is beyond my own natural capabilities? Or am I just going to work, going to school, coming home, playing games, eating dinner, and going to sleep? You know what? You don't need Jesus for any of that. Yeah, the world doesn't. If we just do stuff the world does, except for Thursdays or Wednesdays and Sundays, where are we at? Amen? 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 We don't learn faith because sometimes we don't walk in faith. Amen. And so when we start choosing to get into things and we start getting in the spirit and saying, God, I want you to lead me into waters to walk in. I don't want to be in the boat any longer, because you know what? The crowd is in the boat. But you know what? There was only one that went out to meet Jesus on the water. And you know what? I don't care if everybody else called by God is on the boat, but you know what? I want to do something different for God. Amen. Somebody in here wants to do something different for God. Amen. I don't want to sit in a pew until I die. But God, I want to do something different. He hears that cry, I promise you. So they heard his word and they left him. Amen. Could you imagine? See it. See the movie in your eyes. As the disciples, the few, the 12, watch as Jesus hands out the bread, and it multiplies, and it multiplies, and this crowd is fed. And he keeps reaching in the bag, and there's another loaf. I don't know if it's a baguette. I don't know what it is, but he continues to reach it out, and it's there, it's there, it's there. And they watch us unfold as they see the hunger in the crowd's eyes. And then suddenly, they look at each other as they begin to walk out that door, never to be seen again. How could so many people receive so many blessings by God and walk away from Him? My God, save me, Lord, from myself. Jesus, the Word says, our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful. They're deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Amen. It's so easy to get blessed and get provided for. Amen. We can all think of times when God has blessed us. Amen. But still that pull is there to walk away from Him. Amen. That's called the flesh. That's all the flesh. Think about it. There's two things it could be. Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? I don't know how elementary this is going to be. But it's not the Holy Ghost that's telling you to walk away from truth.
Right.
Ain't that it, though? It's not the Holy Ghost telling you to drop holiness.
Right.
It's not it. That's not it. It's not the Holy Ghost telling you to lessen your commitment to the house of God. It's not the Holy Ghost telling you, you know what, maybe you should spend less time trying to reach out to the lost. Maybe you should maybe care more just about yourself and do your own thing. Maybe you should prioritize work over church. And maybe you should just care about things of the world and money. That's not the Holy Ghost. Amen? The Bible says that the carnal mind can what? Not please God. Amen? I want to please God. Amen? Amen. God has gathered people here. You want to please God? Well, follow the Spirit. Amen. Amen. So there was this crowd that left Jesus, and there's a social pressure. Amen. As one and one and one begins to walk away from Him. Amen. Many of us would probably say, I'm not influenced by the crowd. I would never just follow the crowd doing a bad thing. But you know what? I feel it. Sometimes I feel like, you know, what's popular is like, oh man, I don't want to be weird. I don't. Anybody like that? Where it's like, man, I don't want to stick out like that. That's what pastor does. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be the weird one. Let somebody else. They're already weird. I've kept my cool for years. Amen. They even know I got the Holy Ghost. What? Too far. Jesus, I live that way though. I'm telling you, like people at my school were like, "Mark's a Christian? What? Mark's a Christian? Are you kidding me?" That broke my heart.
Yeah.
That ought to break our hearts. Did they know? Yeah. My goodness. I tried and I was like, "Hey, my name is Mark Jesus Christ Wolford. I love Him." No, that's just goofy. So, I want to ask you a question. When you watch as people leave and leave and leave, because you know what? God is gathering a people committed to Him.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're committed to Him, you're going to watch people leave.
Yeah.
You are going to watch people leave who you never thought would leave this thing. And sometimes they come back, but my goodness, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Amen. We talked about in our youth group one of our first times is that, you know what? How many of us in our youth groups, as we've gone out of that stage, from our youth groups, how many have fallen away?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just a silent minority. It's the great majority. Of people who have grown up and heard apostolic teaching and preaching, went to youth services, went to youth rallies, but have fallen away. And so I'm here to tell you, don't let it into your heart when others walk away from Jesus. Don't let it into your heart. The Bible says to guard your heart. Just because they walk away doesn't mean it's right. Amen. Just because it seems popular doesn't mean it's right. Amen. Many walked away, but there was just a few that stayed with him. Amen. There's such a tendency in ourselves when we are a part of the few to think that we're in the wrong. Amen. When we are a part of the few to think that we made the wrong choice. Amen. But I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's you by yourself. If you stood with the word, you made the right choice. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you had to give up. If your pastor preached it and you received it, you did the right thing. I don't care if mama and dada ain't doing it. I don't care if aunt or uncle, your cousin, your friends ain't doing it. If it's the word, it's for you. You. And more importantly, it's for your good. Because I'm here to tell you, the next verse is I'm gonna scurry along. Amen. Everybody good? 67. Jesus looks at them and he says, he looks at the 12. He says, "Will you also go away?" My goodness. How real of a question to ask those 12. Amen. Will you also leave me? In verse 68, Peter, I'm telling you, God is looking for somebody to reach, to stand up and answer that question tonight. Yeah. Will you also go away? Because the Bible says that in the last days, that many will fall away. Yeah. And that's not talking about fall away from being lost to being lost. That doesn't make a lick of sense. The only way you fall away is if you were in the first place. Yeah. Okay, let's put two and two together. Who's in? Yeah. Who's in? I'm not talking about people sold out to being a counterfeit. Right. I'm not talking about people in other I wouldn't say we're not religion, but other faiths that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Within the church, there will be a great falling away. Amen. Many will be deceived. The Bible says that Jesus, you know, God is going to shorten the days for our sake, for the elect's sake. Yeah. So his question is, in the last days, will you go away too? Will you follow whoever else has left me? And Peter, because God is looking for a Peter among us to say, Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? Yeah. Hear the faith of Peter. To say, where else can I find what I found in you? Yeah. The world didn't save me or heal me or deliver me from alcoholism, depression, anxiety, addiction to pornography. The world didn't save me from a sinner's hell. Where else will we go, Jesus? You know why? Because I believe with all my heart that the disciples themselves did not truly understand what Jesus was talking about, the bread of life. Because it was a hard saying. I believe they didn't understand too. And so the question is, what will you do when you don't understand? Because there are times that something will be preached from here, or you'll read it from here, where you will not get it. I read it. If there are times you don't get it, I don't think you're reading it closely enough. If you don't have a question every now and then, you're probably just skimming. Yeah. Which is fun for a minute, but it gets boring after a while. Right. Amen? And so, you're going to have questions. There are going to be times that you don't understand why Jesus says what he says, or why pastor, or why somebody says what he says. Or why the word? I don't understand why God asked me to give up things that he's asked me to give up. You been there where he's quickened your mind or spoke through somebody to say, stop doing this or give this or do this thing? I don't get it in the moment. Just like Israel didn't understand, walk to the Red Sea. Amen. Don't go through this easy path, but walk to the Red Sea. But as we start to take a step forward in obedience, God starts to do something that we've never seen him do before. I can't lean on the testimony of an elder when God does something in my life that I ain't even heard of. So when God is starting to speak to you, something that you never have understood and you don't even get. I'm telling you, you might be fixing to do something in your life. That's going to blow your mind. Amen. People left him. But Peter, you see, the crowd was confused about his words. But what did Peter say about his words? Your words have eternal life.
Yeah.
I may not understand every jot and tittle, but you know what I do get? His word is eternal life.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between the committed and the uncommitted. The uncommitted were satisfied and caught up in the physical and caught up in the provision.
Yeah.
But the committed said, you know what? Even if I don't get fed today.
Yeah.
That's how it's been from Genesis to Revelation. Even if he doesn't provide the way I think he's going to provide.
Yeah.
Even, Esther, if I perish, if I perish, I perish. Daniel, you know, all the three boys in the flames, you know, whatever happens, you know, but God, I'm not going to turn around on God. Why? Because he's been so good to me and he's faithful. He's proven himself. And where else will I go? Amen. I might not totally understand the path that he has me on, but you know what I do understand? I understand the path that the devil had me on. The devil had me on a path to be addicted and in bondage until the day I died in misery, only to open my eyes, to wake up, to see a hell worse than anything on this earth. But when I started to turn my life towards Christ, I'm telling you, I don't get it, but I love it, because he's given peace and joy. Joy and freedom, amen. And when you're committed, it's not always fun, but I'm telling you, he wants to pour into you, amen. So have you found these words of eternal life, amen? Amen. I encourage every single one of us to ask ourselves, why in the world am I near Jesus tonight? Amen. Because you are near him, whether we get it or not. Amen. You are near him.
Yeah.
And the crowd was near him and the disciples were near him. But they were near him for different reasons. Amen. I want my commitment to be based on his word, not on the crowd and not my understanding.
Yeah.
And the few stayed. Can we think about this? Disciples, I'm going to be just closing up here. Think about this. The few stayed committed without the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Think about it. Do you ever think about, and this might be a sideline, so I'm sorry, but think about all the things people did in the Bible without the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy. They walked in faith. They worked the hand of God. Gideon, you know, they put all their life on the David, stepping up to Goliath. I ain't got the Holy Ghost, but you know what I have? I have the name. I have the name of the Lord of hosts. I might not have everything, but I have the name, and that's all I need. I have the name, and I have a testimony that he delivered me from the hand of the bear and the hand of the lion. I might not have everything. I might not be Lee Stone King, but I have a testimony. Amen. Amen. So I want you to lean on that as we begin to play and we begin to sing. I want to ask you, why are you near him tonight? Amen. Are you committed? Are you uncommitted, or are you somewhere in between? I believe with all of my heart that this period of being in what would be called a youth group, in a student ministry, is so important because you are in a time of your life to kind of transition between either my parents' commitment, or if it's not your parents', you know, my youth pastor's commitment, or my friend's commitment that brought me here, who wouldn't stop texting me to come to Brunswick, Ohio on a Friday night. I want to move away from being on somebody else's commitment, and I want to stand on my own commitment. And not just to what I've experienced, and not just to what I understand, but to his work. Because I don't get all of this yet, brother. I don't get all of this. But what I have found works. What I have seen works. And who I've talked to, it's worked in their lives. And so I'm done trying my own thing. I want to stand on my own commitment with Jesus Christ. Because even if the church falls, I want to stand with him. Even if the world may fall, even if my favorite preacher or pastor, even if my best friend falls, even if my mama and dad have fallen away from the truth, I want to stand on the rock. Amen. Amen. And that's what I believe, that's what youth ministry is all about. I believe that this is what this period of your life is all about. Because when you decide to spend on your own commitment, Jesus sees a vessel that he can start to use. Amen. He starts to see somebody who's not a baby anymore, but sees somebody, a warrior in Christ. Amen. So for those of you that feel the hand of God drawing you closer to commitment in him, I invite you to an altar. I invite you to a place to close your eyes, amen, and to search your heart. Am I committed? Am I as committed in front of a large group as I am by myself? Am I as committed when I get it and I'm clapping and I'm shouting as when I don't like the word? God, I commit myself to you, Jesus. When I don't like it, when I don't understand it, because I need it, Jesus. I need your word to change my life. I am not finished yet. I encourage you, draw closer to him. Will you leave him too? Jesus. God, I'm not going to give up. I don't care how many times I fall back into sin. I don't care how many times I mess up, Jesus. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Come on, you can crawl into heaven, but you gotta keep moving forward. It doesn't matter how many times you mess up. Jesus, he's looking for commitment. He loves your desire, but he's looking for commitment. Jesus,
and fill me.
because of what you do, not because, Lord God, of what I've gotten, Lord God, not because of my blessings, but because of who you are. You're holy. You are the King of glory. You are God alone. You sit on your throne. You are one, and your name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Holy God. Holy God. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I hope God's blessed you tonight. Amen. I'm committed, amen. Anybody else committed? Amen. Amen. I'm committed to God. I may be a mess, but I'm his mess, amen. I'm not walking away. Amen. You either? I better see you in heaven. I'll be busting your hind, seriously. Make it. Amen. And like Nick said, we need each other. Amen. So no matter who falls away, the word, the word, the word. Amen. Mark might change, but the word won't change. Amen. Amen. So we are so glad you are here. We are blessed that you're here. We have hot dogs. We have, no, we don't. You have s'mores. We have hot dogs. We have chips. We have the tea and lemonade. And we're going to go downstairs and we're going to devour. And there'll be a bonfire. Amen. So let's pray over our food and hot chocolate. Let's pray over our food and let's have a blast as family. Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, for our fellowship. I thank you, Lord God, for our friendship, Lord God. I pray for new friendships tonight. I pray, Lord God, for deeper relationships tonight. I pray in the name above every name, bless this food. Lord God, it is apostolic to eat and be have fun together. So Jesus, I thank you, Lord God. You're good. You're so much better than I deserve. We love you, Lord God. Bless your name. Amen. You are dismissed. Downstairs.
You can't deny it.
No, I can't do nobody. I'm just saying.
You can't deny it. You're the